Hey everyone, I'm Maggie McGrath, a staff writer at Forbes magazine and your new host for a show called Forbes on Trump.
Politicians are all talk, no action.
I'll be speaking with the editors and writers who are reporting on the 45th president. We'll hear what they're finding out about his wealth, his business associates, and the ways in which he and his policies are affecting the economy, consumers, and all aspects of the business world.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Along the way, we'll dive into Forbes archives, which contain decades of information that will add context to the current White House administration.
So listen to this. Listen to this.
That's Forbes on Trump on Podcast One.
Subscribe now at iTunes, and don't forget to rate, review, and share.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but get on mandate. Get it on. Sorry.
That's for me. That's for me. I knock out those beats. You know what I mean? We're talking about doing a live podcast.
Drew and I were talking off there about live. Yeah. He's doing one with, or did one with Mike Catherwood.
Yeah. And I don't like, and it's sort of you're training me too. I don't like going up there without just a little roadmap. Even if I don't use the map, I like having the map in my pocket. That's all.
Yeah, listen, in terms of like preparation versus non-preparation.
There's non-preparation and there's no preparation. You know what I mean? You and I do non-preparation, to be fair. But we do some preparation.
Well, here's the deal. I do, you know, stand up all over the place, but I do podcasts all over the place, and I do have beats and things I want to discuss, and so here's the way I look at it.
Like the last one I did with you, you had the Tungus whatever video and stuff on hand, right? Or did he pull that at the moment?
What I do is I do this. By the way, every Madison Avenue, every company that's doing advertising should just run everything by me, and then I can tell them how fucking lame it is, and then I can nip it in the bud because Tungus, too much good stuff. I haven't seen Tungus in a year. I'm guessing he didn't make the cut because he's grotesque. And by the way,
when we interviewed somebody in relation to that the whole campaign, we interviewed the hot chick that he was molesting.
Yes.
We didn't interview him.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, what I do is I carry around my buck slip and I make my notes. Now, people say all the time, oh, look at you, just wing it. You just wing it. It's always great. You just wing it. And I always say to them, I do a lot of winging it, but it could be better if I did a little less winging. Mm-hmm. And they go, nah, that's your thing. And I go, yeah, I know, but let's not mistake it in that. I'm going to sound pretty blowhardy here, but I'm like a person who's naturally gifted at math and can ace most tests. But if I studied, I would do better at the test. And they'd go, no, you don't study. You just ace it, you know? And I go, I will ace the test, but if I studied, it would be a little better.
It's a little bit different, though, with performing because it loses some of the romance if you're prepped. You know, the idea that you didn't prep is like a magic trick. I didn't prep
well,
for it.
Well, don't worry. It's 90 minutes of almost no prep, which is still a lot of, you know, 8 minutes of no prep or almost no prep is a long time. This will be 95 minutes of almost no prep. But what I do, and the reason I do it, look, I don't throw the word hero around lightly, Drew.
But frequently, but not lightly.
Not lightly, but frequently.
Yes, yes.
And only toward myself.
Well, of course, who else would you be talking about?
Well, I'm going to some theater, and everyone paid $40. You know, I don't want them to just have me walk out there going, oh, what's going on?
Right.
Where are we?
Right.
You know, I sort of will write down beats. I can work off the beats, and I'll write Tungus or whoever, the things
well, and,
that catch
and, in
my
a way,
eye.
You're not undoing the spontaneity of the event at all because it's not stuff you've spoken of before, or at least not frequently
right, no.
or not in this manner. It's not like a set piece that you're mapping out. You're just mapping out topics that are interesting to you that you want to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do believe it makes for a better product.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Could I go out there with a completely empty head and empty buck slip and just start from scratch? Yes. Have I done it before? Yes. Does it work? Mostly. But I would like to, you know, I was a horrible student my whole life. I'm trying to be a better student as an adult, and I'd like to shift the odds a little in my favor. That's your job. When you enter the classroom and you take the test, what you'd like is to help your you'd like to do everything you can do so that this will come out with the kind of outcome that you would like.
Well,
yes, Drew?
Also, so you're not being disrespectful to the people who paid their hard-earned money. You know what I mean? You're giving it a little bit of their of a give back.
Yes, yeah. I do have that element. And yes. I do have that element of these people paid $50 for a ticket by the time, you know, Ticketmaster gouges them and okay, let's give them something.
Let's go to a call here. Esme is strange enough, she must do nothing but sit around listening to me and Mike and you and me all day.
Esme.
Because I understand, Esme, I understand how you do that.
Oh, today's different. My kid could be up any minute. So if I hang up, just don't worry about it.
But you listen. I talked to you on the radio 2 hours ago, and now I'm talking to you on this podcast.
That was yesterday. I called yesterday.
I beg your pardon. Maybe what you didn't hear. I was, hang on. Maybe we didn't hear. I was commenting on your tweets.
She's sleeping, I definitely listen.
So hold on.
She got back into naps.
Hold on. I said. Cigars, I referred to your calling me a cigar store Indian. I forget why it came up. And Esme and a thread came up with a cigar store Indian that really looked like me. I mean,
oh, really?
Really reminded me of how I look on camera. It sounded about right.
So, yeah. You're in the latest Sandler movie, right?
Yeah.
And so is Jimmy.
I know, but you're not.
But not me.
What is that?
Well, I think my acting ability sometimes
overshadows
sheds a negative light on other people's
abilities. Maybe it's overshadows a bit. I'd even spin it like this. You have Sandler on your stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do
you
his
don't need
stuff.
To be his
he
stuff.
Does my stuff.
Yeah.
Esme?
Yes.
Yes. What's your question?
I want to know if you guys ever had a conversation about how Adam used to turn Drew's mic off.
Like, is it something we consciously have stopped doing?
Yeah, actually, I kind of wonder if you told him to knock it off at some point.
I don't even remember shutting his mic off, but now I remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
It just every single night.
There are things we just move on past for whatever reason. Maybe it's because I'm not hitting the mic, or maybe we're not doing as.
When would I shut it? When he was disagreeing with me, or what? I was interviewing somebody.
A lot, like both of those times, and when he would just talk too much about medical stuff that was boring. I'm listening, you know, I'm keeping up with the Get It On podcast, which is awesome. And they're in 98 right now, and at least in the current airs, it's like every single night, at least once a night.
Wow. I don't remember doing it that much.
Well,
but, hey, have you got to us going to Jenny Jones yet?
a little bit, I believe. Oh. I don't know if they got to the you guys hosting one yet. But
you're going
to
hear me complain when I come back from Jenny Jones.
I can't wait.
Painful. Painful.
The best part.
But maybe it's Adam. It is the fact that back in those late 90s, we were together all the time every day doing stuff. And so you got less tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We'd travel together. We'd do a TV show every week.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I mean, there was also, it was a popular syndicated show. I was the comedic voice. I had a little bit of an eye toward comedy. And I was trying to keep the comedy up, you know, as a sort of, hey, we're syndicated, successful radio show. There needs to be a certain element of, you know, you're the doctor, you do the comedy, and we have a little bit of a brand, and that brand is, you know, be funny. And
to,
so
to
I
be
would
fair,
burn some more calories being funny.
That, and to be fair, you would, you coached me up over about 7 years, and that was the beginning, right? And so I was doing a lot of no, and I was doing a lot of explanation.
Getting on point.
Well, no, I wasn't paying attention to rhythm or sound or anything else. I was just paying attention to answering my question, and he was right. Am I some of that? I
mean, yeah.
You know. Oh, I definitely defend you, Adam, because it was funny. I just have always been curious if like, at some point Drew said enough or if it just sort of phased out.
Drew and I don't believe have had any kind of enough or anything conversations any time. I mean, I may have said in the past to him, like, look, when I'm trying to drive a point home with some employee that's gone south, like, don't let him off the hook or something. But I probably said that in front of the employee, Andrew. Like, we didn't have any private
conversations.
Conversations.
Yeah. The only private conversation we had were on the phone driving home from radio. And those were always diatribes about Adam's mom and grandma.
Oh, no. We would get into what douchebags Chumbawamba were.
Yes.
But that wasn't a joke. You guys would actually talk on the phone.
Home.
Until we lose reception.
Yeah, and what we do is like, wow. Oh, fucking Chumbawamba. What colossal dickheads they were. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, can you believe it? And then Drew would be like, oh, God, I've been wanting to say something the whole time. You have to be nice.
But then there was one other thing. We'd jump in with. Highway patrol on the left, 3 o'clock behind you.
Whoever's in front would run scout for the guy who was behind him about getting tickets.
We both were speeding, and so we'd look out each for highway patrol for each of us.
Hey, you good, Esme?
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
It already happened on air, but
yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So you were telling off the air that Mike doesn't like to prepare at all.
No, he likes me off balance, and he feels like that's best when we're not prepared, which is probably true. But what I said was, if you don't want me as the cigar store Indian up there, because that's where I'll go if I don't have a sort of some ideas that I want to just sort of talk about.
Well, was he a bad student?
Yes.
Terrible. Got to tell you, as a former terrible student, there's a real fear. The biggest fear is like homework. It's not failure. Yeah. I was accustomed to failure. You know, I got failed a lot of failure, like D's and fails. The biggest fear was preparation.
God, when you're a preparer, the biggest fear is the D. Well, can't even say the F word.
No, but it's a weird love-hate relationship. So what would happen is your teacher would be like, being a horrible student is lose-lose, because not only are you a horrible student, but you would actually burn calories kind of being bad. Like, so the teacher would go like, okay.
It's like being poor, right? Is that same thing?
Yeah. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's my version of, I'm going to go to the pump, but I'm only putting in $5 at a time because I can't afford $61 to fill up the tank. And you have to go to the pump 6 times now, right?
Yeah.
So I would, I know that math didn't work. I would do I was a horrible student. So they'd go like, all right, we're going to do the written report on Monday and then the oral report Monday afternoon after we hand in the written report. And I'd just leave on Friday and be like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's not going to work. Oh, man, that's going to suck. I'm not going to do that. I could never do that.
Burning calories the whole time.
Yeah, it's like burning calories. And then you go, you know what? It's Friday. It's 4 in the afternoon. I don't even have to think about this. I mean, we're not talking about – this is not till Monday. We may never see – we're in earthquake country. We don't even know if we're going to see Monday. You don't know if you're going to see Monday. You know, look, the ninth grade is not guaranteed. And so then you just start screwing around and having fun. And at some point on Saturday afternoon, it's like pops in your head. Yeah. Monday. That's going to be embarrassing. Like, what am I going to do? I got to like fake an injury. Like, maybe I'll go like full Pepillon when he threw himself down the gangplank when he's getting off the boat on Devil's Island or whatever it is. Like, he just literally threw himself down so he could be in the infirmary. Like, maybe when I'm walking to the front of class, I'll just throw myself down onto a desk and impale myself and have to be carried out. Like, what am I going to do? And then you'd run into this person. Like, you run into one, there was always like one good student in your group or something. And then you go, hey, man, we're going to the park tonight to shoot hoop. And they go, I got to work on my oral report. And you go, oh, damn it. Now you bummed me out. Now I should have done that. We're going to the park anyway. You know, and you kind of think about it. Then you get to Sunday night.
And you're already depressed because it's Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Monday's coming.
Yeah, you're watching Marlon Perkins and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And you're like, ugh. I haven't prepared. I've not prepared.
Do you guys know what he's talking about? They're laughing at it. Go look it up. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom would play before Wild World of Disney, after?
I can't remember.
But it was
probably
same,
after.
Yeah.
Before McMillan and wife.
Yeah.
And then you're just sitting there going, damn it, I should have prepared. You know what? I'm not going to prepare. You know what? I'm not going in tomorrow. I'm going to just be sick. I could be sick. I don't even feel that good. I might even be faking it. I think this is real. I think this is real. I think the SpaghettiOs went south, man. I think that pot my dad uses that has no handle, I think that thing's tainted or something. I don't feel good. Maybe I'm not good. Maybe I should lay the groundwork with my dad.
Maybe I have rabies. It's rusty. I'm eating the rust. It's probably the same thing as being jabbed with the rust.
I got tetanus. My jaw feels stiff. I should tell my dad I don't feel good now, just to kind of soften the soil a little bit. You know, like till it, and then tomorrow's when I
my jaw's tight.
That's harvest day.
God,
that's when we harvest the corn. Hey, Dan. Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm going to go bed early. I'm not feeling good. Oh, wait a minute. You sleep in a sweatbox. You can't go to bed early.
You can't sleep there anyway.
You're not done watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom or McMillan and Wife on a black and white piece of shit TV set.
ATP.
Let's see. Is it back?
Yeah. I can't. I'm not sure if the Animal Planet one is still on. It was definitely on in the late 2000s, but there's also a web series now that I'm seeing in like 2014, 15.
Mutual of Omaha's?
Uh-huh.
Wild Kingdom.
I don't know if the Mutual of Omaha is still there on the web series.
Bindi Irwin hosts.
Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Probably what it is. Well, what years did the first one? The first one must have ran from like 1959, I think it's 78
62
or something.
69.
Very close. 63 to 88.
Wow. Yeah,
think it
man.
It went that long.
You guys haven't heard of a show that has been on for 25 years.
Especially a show that is stultifying boring. The guy, the host, was on, had Parkinson's or something, right? He was. Right?
He was certainly the oldest guy on TV. I've never seen a guy that old on TV.
Right.
Hi, I'm Marlon Perkins. I'm wearing a
he
safari suit.
He was motor slowing. He was slowed. He kind of slowly move around.
The land tortoise, one of the largest reptiles to roam God's creation.
Beats me every time.
Jim is down there. He's attempting to mount a full-size camera. The tortoises live up to 118 years of age, which I call a sprite. I'm actually 171. Jim is going to attach via spike strip. It doesn't hurt the tortoise. I always love when they do that. It's like, really? How do you know what that tortoise? He's going to drive a railroad spike through the back of the tortoise's shell. We're going to mount the camera with a battery and a camera crew on the back. These majestic creatures live up to 108. And don't let their slow pace fool you. A full-grown, mature male land tortoise can travel up to 71 miles a day.
And have 800 offspring. But
they good luck making it back to the surf. The seagulls are ravenous. And the sand crabs.
If they put a camera on the tortoise's back, it was like a camera. It was like a full, like something like from, Warner was running,
winding it.
Winding it. Somebody run alongside and winding it. Yeah.
So then, back to my bad student scenario. So then you got to do this thing. It's like, I don't want to think about this. You know what? I'm just going to get up tomorrow and I'm just going to wing it. No, I'll just sit in the back of the class and hopefully if everyone in front of me goes slow enough, they'll finish on Tuesday. And then what I'll do is I'll do it Monday night.
How did that guy? He must not have been on until 88.
We're looking at Marlon Perkins now.
He was till 69 or something.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Wildlife and conservation stories occur all over the world. While filming our shows in these distant places, there were many adventures creating some wonderful, memorable moments.
Look at how he moves. He has Parkinson's
disease. Yes, he does.
Many of these I shared with Jim Fowler.
Jim, there he is.
Memories we'll never forget, Marlon. It's odd how these come back with real impact when you encounter
this
something
TV.
That triggers
this
the memory.
This was TV back then.
Yeah. I agree.
Network television. ABC, 8 o'clock Sunday
night.
I was watching it on
they
black and white.
They remind me of a pair of very appealing young animals in the Florida Everglades. It happened when Ranger Jim Jordan and I set out to rescue two cougar kittens who were in no need to be rescued.
This is probably a Disney production.
Yeah.
This area would soon be flooded, and since their mother was already immobilized for relocation to a new territory,
nice with the shirt
we
sleeves
had to
and
move
the going
kittens
for the
too. Well, they would have.
There's any time to rock a long sleeve, I'd say, when you're picking up a cougar.
And by the way, they just pulled those out of the zoo and stuck them.
They didn't pull them out of the zoo. That's a corner of their cage.
They just
knocked over a palm frond and filmed next to it. They're not going anywhere.
You're right.
Yeah.
He's moving
in
a little better there, though.
That's from the
1870s.
Can quickly unsheath an array of impressive weapons on each foot.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. He's younger there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely younger. Yeah.
All right. No, all right. I can't stand it. I hated that show because I was always depressed.
I hate it, too, because that meant Sunday night. That was all now. And so now I was just sitting there, and it was like, I got to go in tomorrow morning. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be embarrassing. You know what? Just tell them. All right. I'll just. And then what would happen is I'd just show up for class, and they'd go like, all right, everybody, just go ahead and pass your reports up to the front of the class. And I'd be like, all right, if I kind of shuffle around a little bit, like move, like turn back, grab someone else's, hold it for an extra beat, shuffle it a beat, and then hand it, fluff it a little, and then like hand it up. And then and by the time he gets the big pile, he's going to take the pile like home. He'll be long gone by the time he realizes I didn't. And I'll just... He'll just record us there, and he'll ask me, and I'll just tell him, I forgot it. I left it in the back of the thing, you know, whatever, Jesus. And that'll be that.
What a nerve-wracking mess.
Then later on, things in life, anything that felt like homework was like, oh, boy, let's get out of here.
So you're aversive to it. Do you avoid it?
You don't. First off, you have no gene to tackle it. You have no modality.
No muscle. But don't you want to change that?
I did, yes.
Okay, you did.
Okay. You don't know what the operating procedures are to doing this.
Like no judgment, no experience with it.
Yeah, you don't know where to start or how to go about it. Yeah. You just don't have any reps.
Yeah.
At some point, I sort of figured out in life, like, hey, look, you can't read very well. And you're going to be standing up there next to Jimmy Kimmel, who's the best live reader on the planet, reading cue cards. And you're going to come across as stilted and weird and clumsy and stupid when he's just mowing through these cards effortlessly. So as much as you hate it, go get your pile of cue cards. And during lunch, you know, while everyone else is eating lunch, you're going to have to go through it. And not once.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of times. Otherwise, that's what it's going to take for you. You have to make up for what you didn't do in school. And so, whereas like Jimmy would just go eat lunch, or I'd go eat lunch too, but like while Jimmy would just go in his dressing room and watch TV, I would say to the script supervisor, I need the script with the cue cards on the script exactly as is on the cue cards. I need my stuff highlighted, and I'm just going to go in my room. I'd read it down, start from the bottom, start from the top, get to the bottom, and then start up at the top again. It wasn't enough to do it twice or four times. I'd do it 10 times. So by the time I got to the cue cards, they were literally just cue cards. Like I wasn't even I was just
memorized.
Basically. Yeah. But it took a long time. But I can tell you that when something reminds you of it, your first beat is like, oh no, homework. And maybe Mike is experiencing that feeling.
I'll ask him. I'll bring ask up. Him. That's something to talk about tonight.
Don't ask in advance.
True. Now you're preparing.
Yeah, don't
prepare. Oh, no, I told Adam I prepared. I can't not do it.
Zach?
Whether or not he'll let me use what I prepared is a different issue, but at least I have a roadmap.
26, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, man. What's happening?
Really love the show, Adam, sincerely.
The new show? This show?
Yeah, Built Stuff Live. It is freaking great.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. I you know, it's so new, different, somewhat chaotic, and I'm so in the middle of it that I really don't... People seem to like it, which is nice, but I really have no sense of it. I'm just in it. But thank you. So, good. Question?
Yeah, if you could do a first-round draft pick of a female celebrity on there, who you got?
Well, I had a funny thing, because, you know, we've had a couple of dudes, and, you know, the new edict for network anything is, hey, if you have three white people, we need a black guy. If you have three black guys, we need a Mexican guy. We need three Mexican guys, we need an Asian chick. You know, that's all they do. Like, it's the only way their brain works. Like, they could never just go, look, let's just take the best guests we have each week. If it's five white guys in a row, blah, blah, blah. Now, nobody gives a shit, but they do. Well, they don't give a shit. Actually, they don't care about diversity. They care about what other people think they care about.
They don't want to be called out for something.
They don't want to be called out for anything.
They don't even care about anything. They just don't want to be called out.
They don't care about diversity, people of color, women, LGBTQ, BFD community. They do not care about any of those people for a hot second ever. They care about getting called out.
Ratings, too. That's the other thing.
They care about ratings, but this doesn't have to do with ratings. Yeah, for them. Yeah, this is them not wanting to get yelled at. So... at the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post doesn't care about it either. They make a business through yelling at people. Nobody cares. Don't get me. Never think that anyone ever cares. It's just people don't want to get yelled at, and people don't want to have to cobble together false either apology or explanation. So they could just avoid it.
Yeah.
So I talked to them today about a list of females that could come onto the show, which is...
That'd be great.
I think it's fair to say with me, Drew, and you too, we've never had any rules about anything. We're actually pure.
Yeah.
And that whoever wants to come on next can come on next. And it's actually to go, hey, it's been three shows and you haven't had a Hispanic lady on there. That is a kind of a form of racism, or at least it's a form of focusing on race.
Yeah.
I'll do the ultimate focus on race, which is a zero focus, which is whoever is qualified to come on next, I will happily embrace to come on to the show, whatever they are and whatever community they come from. But that's not good enough. But no. So they went through a list of people, and first was Aisha Tyler, and I said, oh, I like her.
Oh,
I've done her podcast a few times, and she'd be great. And then they said Katie Segal, and I said... I worked on Katie Segal's house when I was a carpenter.
That'd be fascinating, right?
She'll have memories of me coming up to her house. She was married to...
The dentist, I think.
She was married to, I want to say Jack White, but that's another Jack. She was married to a Jack drummer from Rick Springfield's band.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit of a douche. But again, if you were Rick Springfield's drummer, Jack White, right? Well, then what is the White Stripes guy name? Is that Jack White, too?
Yeah.
Another Jack White. All right. Another musician, Jack White, played the drums for Rick Springfield's band, was married to Katie Segal. They lived up in the Hollywood Hills, like around Griffith Park Observatory area. And I would come up to their house, a nice spread, nice Spanish style, you know, just what you'd picture up on the hills with a view. And I would go up there and do, you know, I think I installed a sauna in their house. I fixed a door. I built like garage cabinets. I at some point got in with a assistant, like celebrity assistant. Remember the guy? Oh God, there was a guy who used to go on Howard Stern all the time. He was a writer, and he would talk about suicide and death and Bob something. I got to think about. I got to figure it out. Back when? Not in the 80s or whatever.
He was a television writer or something?
Yeah, he wrote for everything. He was kind of a comedian, but not really a comedian. He was more of a writer. And he was very morose. And he was talking about suicide and stuff. And he liked comic books and stuff. I somehow got with his assistant, Celebrity Circuit, and I did work at his house. And then next thing you knew, the same one was like, Katie Segal's assistant, and it was over there, and then it was over her, and
that
was a little assistant network.
Yeah, that's how that works.
And they were looking for people that were kind of trustworthy, did good work, and wouldn't steal their underpants. You know,
would you? So you recommended those two? Did they go for them?
I don't know. They just sort of went down the line, and I just went know them, don't know them. Where's she from? You know him, like him.
Can I mention the one I heard was booked? Or
I didn't hear. You heard someone was booked?
A female.
Oh, go ahead.
Anna Faris?
We're trying. I don't know. Is that booked?
I love Anna Faris. I do, too. I think she'd be great.
I do, too. Where'd you hear that?
Don't remember. But how did I? I must have heard from somebody.
Do your homework, man.
Yeah.
Zach?
Yeah, how about the Katie Segal season 2, Aisha Tyler season 3? Because this thing is going.
right, Spike. Tweet about it.
Yeah, keep up. Start the fan club, Zach. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, of course.
Thanks, brother.
Take care.
All right, and let's not forget about True Car. Shopping for a car? Make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Gary, I don't know how you find out this guy's name.
I tried pretty much all the keywords you gave me.
It was
suicide,
a Stern rate. Nah, it was a Stern regular. Used to call in a lot, wrote out here for a lot, just a writer, not a stand-up. You guys wouldn't have heard of him, but he used to always just call up into Stern. It'd just be a long, it's like a game you don't, right? Just be like a person you didn't recognize. I used to hear him and go, wait a minute, I used to work for that guy. Also, one of these dudes that had like action figurines like hanging from the ceiling in his office, like, Wolverine, Batman.
Ooh, weird.
And next show, I want to talk to you about that.
About people that are into that stuff?
About adults.
Adults into cartoon and superheroes.
Yeah. Let's get into that. First true car. Where was I? Chamfer car. Yeah. You want to get that real price on actual inventory. So you want to go to True Car. They get real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car savers, users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. Ooh, not too shabby, Drew. That's like one haircut. No, maybe like two haircuts for you, right? Yeah. When you're ready to buy, I found out my dad got $80 haircuts. Did I tell you that?
No. Wild.
Yeah. I get $12 haircuts and he wants to borrow money. Anyway, when you're ready to buy, visit True Car, see what others are paying, and enjoy a more confident buying experience. So, why not? You're going to get new. You're going to get used. You're going to go True Car. TrueCar.com, baby. All right. Let's see. Live shows. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and check that out. You can come see the Spike show. I'll watch it tonight. It's on Spike. It'll be on at 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I don't know. People keep telling me different things. Let's go with 7 o'clock.
I think it's 7, yeah.
Yeah.
7 Western, 10 Eastern is what it is. It's because simulcast.
No. Hmm?
No?
No.
No? 7 okay. Out here? I don't know what it is. Gary, you tell us. I'm confused.
Watch the show at 10 on Spike.
10 everywhere.
Yeah. If you have DirecTV or something like that in the West, then that's one thing.
That's what I have.
For the purposes of how Spike wants it promoted, please watch at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
Set your DVR so you don't get screwed up.
Yeah. There you go. And the 24-hour war, chassis, chassy.com, and also No Safe Spaces, me and Prager, man. You're going to love that. iTunes, Amazon, AdamCarolla.com. Say hi to Lynette at Corolla Drinks and Drewski.
DrDrew.com, weekly infusion, me and Dr. Bruce, Dr. Spaz, getting some interesting stuff going on in that podcast, and also me and Bob with This Life.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.